Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, praise God. There's nothing like the presence of God. Amen? Nothing like being in the presence of God with your brothers and sisters. Glory. Well, praise God. I'm glad y'all came to church tonight. You glad you came? Glad you came to church tonight? Well, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I can't get off of this thing that I've been preaching about Lambano. You're going to get it down, I promise you. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. King James says the power to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. We were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That word receive means, it's the Greek word lambano, and it means not to receive, not to just like you accepted something, but it means to receive it so that you believed it so much you grabbed hold of it and you did not want to turn loose of it. It's the greatest example is that it's going fishing and catching a fish. And he's on the other end of your rod and he's fighting to get away, but you hold on and there's not a thought in your mind that you want to turn loose of the rod and get rid of him. You hooked it, it's fighting, but you're hanging on with all of your heart. You do not want to turn loose because you believe it's true. Well, that's what that word means, but as many as received him, not just heard about Jesus, not just said, oh yeah, I believe I'm a Christian. Oh, I believe that's a good way to live. Oh yeah, I believe this is the right thing to do. Oh yeah, that sounds like it's a good thing. Yeah, you ought to be good in life. No. It's grabbed hold of it, saw who Jesus was, grabbed hold of him to such a degree that you would not turn loose of him. Nothing could make you turn loose. People screaming at you on the side saying, turn loose, and you're not going to do it. You just keep hanging on. You keep fighting, you keep reeling, you keep just dragging in, and you keep learning in the middle of it. Yeah, you're tired. Yeah, it seems like the situations and circumstances around you is telling you that you ought to quit, but you ain't going to quit because you believe it. You've received it. You've taken it within you, okay? Okay, with that thought, I want to take a look at something. Go to Jeremiah, Old Testament Jeremiah. I got a ring, Christy, a feedback, but I don't know where it's coming from. Okay, just whack it with a hammer. Jeremiah chapter 2. There we go. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon him, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me, have followed idols and become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through the land of the deserts and the pits, through the land of drought and the shadows of death, and through the land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt? He said there, okay, you got to understand Jeremiah. Jeremiah's preaching to a people at a time that they had been exiled, they were gone off, they weren't living like they had lived before, and time had gone by, years and years, hundreds of years have passed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years had passed since Moses in the wilderness, and God he gets Jeremiah to go preach and to cry out, and he said, guys, What's going on? Nobody's crying out and saying, where's God? Nobody's crying out and saying, what are we doing? Why aren't we serving God anymore? Nobody's crying out. He says, you used to be, I'm paraphrasing this, he said, you used to be holiness unto the Lord. Now, we hear that, we don't, you know, it kind of goes over our head because we don't use that kind of verbiage nowadays. You don't say, oh, brother, you used to be holiness unto the Lord. But when he says, you used to be holiness unto the Lord, this is what the word holiness means in the Hebrew. It means a sacred place or thing. Sanctity, consecration, dedication, hallowed, holiness, holy, a saint or sanctuary. In other words, holiness doesn't mean that you just live right. Holiness doesn't mean that you're just good. See, there's a lot of Christians and they want to live just a moral life. Let me read you the definition of moral. Just out of the Webster's Dictionary. Of or relating to principles of right and wrong in behavior. Expressing or teaching a conception of right behavior. Conforming to a standard of right behavior. Sanctioned by or operating on one's conscience or ethical judgment. Capable of right and wrong actions. A moral agent. Perceptually or psychology rather than tangible or practical in nature or effect. Problem with morals is who set the moral and what's the standard. This is really horribly gruesome, but did anybody see about the girl that she's 18 now, at 15 years old, she went over and murdered her 9-year-old friend, strangled her, and then cut her throat because she wanted to see what it would feel like to kill somebody. And then went back and wrote in her diary, you know, this is a great thing, most exciting thing that's ever happened in life. And that then she went to church. So she killed somebody, cut their throat, and then went to church. I mean, what is wrong with that picture? You know, just think about it. Everybody always talks about, oh, America, we're a great democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. A democracy means if enough people get together and vote for whatever it be, then it becomes law. So if enough people got together and thought murder was okay and voted it in, that would be a democracy. Right? Yeah, mob rule. I mean, that's the truth. You can be a Christian and just live a moral life trying to do good, but it's completely different to live a life of holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord means that you're living a life that because Lombano has come into your life, you grabbed hold of Jesus and you wanted to be like him and you've had to figure out who he was so you could be like him, not because you knew morally it was right, but because it was something on the inside of you that caused you to become and want to become like him. And you weren't sitting there saying, well, I really want to do this, but I can't do it because that's not the church doctrine. Church doctrine, man, listen to me. We have a Bible that should be judging our life. We don't need a church doctrine. We need a Bible. I mean, the world is full today of everybody trying to take what the Word of God says is wrong and then try to twist it to where we can, it's okay, it's acceptable, so that they can feel like they're justified in doing it. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. There's no way around it. You can't candy coat it. You can't slide it. You can't make it. It's wrong. Now, I will admit that there's some areas that the Bible is not 100% specific about, and that there, you know, it gets a little bit gray in there, and I guess some people, depending on what you want, you can slide one way or the other on that little scale, but I don't even think those things make a hill of beans to God. Because the thing the Bible says that dictates us is our heart. And if our heart is a heart that's seeking after Him and that we've taken up our cross and we're bearing our cross daily, well, then it's all not because of we're trying to please Him because we believe it's morally right or Christianly morally right. Right? We're doing it because we want to live a life of holiness unto the Lord. The high priest on his breastplate, he had written holiness unto the Lord. Because he was supposed to be a priest, he was supposed to be a God. That it didn't, listen, you shouldn't have to try, okay, let me say this right. I'm not trying to be politically correct, I'm just trying to be nice, the best I can be. If you come down to saying in your life, well, I know the Bible says it's wrong, but I really want to do it. Listen to me, you have a holiness problem. There's no way around that. You can say, well, pastor's just stirred up tonight. And, you know, he was just, no. It's holiness unto the Lord. He said, that's what he said. Go cry out that there's no more holiness unto the Lord. There's no more anything. Somebody crying out. I'm talking about Jeremiah. He said, there's nobody crying out saying, where's the Lord? Why do they want to get rid of God? Why do they want to get Him out of our public schools? Why do they want to get Him out of anything that has to do with anything? Because they don't want to be convicted. They don't want Him standing there looking. They want to think that they can close the curtains and do whatever they want to behind closed doors and nobody's going to see it. They don't want to believe. They don't want to hear anything about God because it convicts them. They're not trying to get Allah out of public schools. They're not trying to get Buddha taken out of there because He don't convict nobody. It's the truth. It's the truth. Because the requirement from God is that we are to be holy. Now, listen, you can't be holy on your own. You can't just say, okay, this is the life I'm going to live. No. You have to have a relationship with God that His holiness comes in you and burns off everything else. That the fire of God comes into your life and burns off all the chaff and gets all that stuff. It's not something you can just say, okay, today I'm going to write a list and we're not doing that anymore. It won't work. That's works. That's going into the Old Testament and trying to live by works. No, it's a relationship, a living, vibrant relationship with you and Jesus. I got to tell you this story, okay? You know, because I practice what I preach. Actually, I practice it first and then I preach it. Make sure it works before I tell you, but today on a job that I was doing, simplest job in the world. How could anything possibly go wrong, right? There's a ranch road that has no fences beside it. It's 1 mile, about as straight as you could throw a rock. I mean, just as straight as you could see. And at the end of that, there's a cattle guard, a big cattle guard. 12-foot wide cattle guard. Has big wings that go over the side. Big cattle guard. I mean, you would think any person with a lick of sense could drive through a cattle guard. Right? But the cement truck driver decided that he would just, I don't know what he was thinking. There was 1,000 acres out in front with not even a tree. And he turns the truck so sharp that he hangs the chutes on the truck on the side of the cattle guard, rips them off, runs over them, smushes them, tears all the side of the wings of the cattle guard off, and just drives on. And I get there and I'm like, is he on drugs? You know what I mean? What? And so I couldn't believe it. And so I just thought, you know, okay, pastor, it's a good time. Practice what you preach. So I said, well, anybody call the concrete company? You know, I mean, I got to do something. Cement company's got to do something. Anybody call it? And yeah, we called them. They're going to come out. I said, they ain't going to come out. I'll go get them. So I walk in there, walk into the cement company. As soon as I walk in there, you just tell everybody just becomes defensive. So I just flip out my business card, hand it to the guy, and said, "Who's in charge here?" And everybody says, "You know." They'll always give up the guy really quick, you know. And I just stuck my hand out, and I said, "Hey, how are you doing? I'm Robert Richards, and I'm just here today to tell you that, you know, I mean, just find out what we're going to do about this situation. You know, your driver run over a, you know, perfectly good cattle guard. I don't know what he was thinking." And so they didn't really believe me. I said, "No, I'm telling you, you know, you lost a lot of money today because he ran over your chutes and he tore off the side of your truck. And I mean, your truck is really damaged because he didn't just hit just some little dinky thing. He ran over a big old cattle guard." And the guy's just sitting there. As soon as he just gets more defensive. And I said, "Look, I said, I'm not here to say anything about you. I'm not here to chew you out or anything else. I'm just here to say, what are we going to do about the situation? You know, and I mean, we're reasonable people. We come to a reasonable situation, right?" And the guy just saw us and he just goes, says, "You know how many people come through that door and immediately they start cussing me out?" I said, "Really?" I said, "That's terrible." I said, "I'm the nicest guy you'll ever meet." And he looks at me and says, I kind of think so. And I said, "We just got to get this thing fixed. Said, so we're going to be able to work this out and everything." And he's like, "Yeah, we can do it. What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, it was at least $500 worth of damage on the deal." He said, "I tell you what, the next truckload of concrete that we send to the job, no ticket, it's free. And then we'll talk about the money." I said, "All right, praise you. You guys are doing good. You're one of my favorite in my business. Thank you very much." I said, "God bless you guys. Talk to you later." Turn around, walk out the door. Call the guys and said, "Hey, the next truckload's a freebie, you know, so just make a ticket on it. Everything's going to be fine. You know, everything's good. Don't worry about it." They said, How'd you do that? I said, "It's practice what I preach, boys. Practice what I preach." It would be so easy to go in there and just become like the world. It would be, you know, and it would just be so easy to go and to operate exactly like the world does. But the Bible says it's not supposed to be something that we do because we believe it's right. Because I had been praying, it takes me an hour to get down there. I prayed in tongues the whole way when I got down there. I was so full of God when I got down on the job site, talking, had a good time with the Lord and everything else. Man, I was happy, man. I was in a good mood. Just by being in the presence of the Lord in the truck the whole hour. Why do I want to lose that? It's got to get close to the Lord. You got to get the Lord in you. The holiness has got to burn off the chaff so that we can truly be holiness unto the Lord. Because you're not just going to be able to do it in your strength. I'm telling you, last week, I might not have handled it the same. You know what I'm saying? If I wouldn't have been built up in prayer and already been having the word of the Lord and going down there, I mean, I might have just gone in there and said, "You know, you bunch of lop-eared, stupid idiots, y'all are the dumbest people I've ever seen in my life." I mean, I could have done that. I know how. I know how. Practice it many times. Are y'all with me? But what God requires of us is to be holiness unto the Lord. And Jeremiah had to cry out and say, "How come we're not finding any holiness unto the Lord?" Now, it goes hand in hand. You see, if a person's just looking at Jesus like, "Yeah, he's got a good teaching. We should probably do that." He's not lambanoed it. He's not got hold of it. He can still be talked out of it. So, of course, he's not then going to go into the next stage of wanting the Lord and spending time with him and getting me on the inside of me until he burns out the ugly. Right? He's going to just be a surface Christian. And when you're a surface Christian, you don't have the strength and the wisdom and the ability to do what's right because you're not doing it based upon holiness to the Lord. You're just doing it because of moral reasons. So, when Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," part of the cross was grabbing hold of this holiness. But to take up the cross when you don't really want the cross? When you don't really want the cross, You know? There's a lot of Christians who simply want to carry the cross because they know it's morally right. But with inside of their heart, they've never spent enough time with the Lord to burn off the chaff. So the cross is cumbersome to them. It's burdensome to them. Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, he had come to that place where he's like, man, I'm not ashamed of anything. Now, one last scripture. Matthew chapter 7. And let me find what here it is. This is a scripture that's always blown me away. Really made me look deep into my own heart to make sure I didn't fall within it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Who practice lawlessness, a habitual thing. Now think about this. Jesus, I'm going to paraphrase this. Jesus said, you never got close enough to me for me to burn anything out of you. And you just kept doing what you wanted to do. And I don't really know who you are. Now, the funny thing is you notice it says that they prophesied in his name and cast out devil in his name and did many wonders in his name. So they were doing the work of the Lord. But they were doing it by moral conviction. They were doing it by just that it was a good thing and we ought to do this. This is what we should do. So, you know, let's go out and help Bob pass out tracts and go do this because it's a good thing. We ought to be doing this. Going up to somebody and saying, you know, you need to get saved, you need to serve Jesus. But they just were doing it, going through the motions. It wasn't within their heart, they hadn't grabbed hold of it and got into their heart so much that it burnt the chaff off them because they were still living a life of lawlessness. In other words, they had no control. They were just doing habitually the same thing over and over and over and over again. So how important is it to draw close to the Lord till it burns the chaff off of us? Pretty critical, huh? Pretty important. And what's funny is, you have to draw close enough to his glory till it hurts. Because if you're not denying yourself, right? I mean, if you're left to yourself, guys, if we're left to ourselves, would we ever use a set of chest of drawers? Just think about that. If we're left to ourselves, we would never use a set of chest of drawers. We'd use the basket. We would only wash out of necessity, and it'd just stay in the basket. You'd pick through it. Right? You would really be thinking you were improving in life if you got two baskets, one to put the dirty clothes in, they weren't just laying there on the floor. Given to yourself is where we'd end up. Well, God gave us wives. Try to help us. Are y'all with me? You guys don't want to admit it, but it's the truth. This is the truth. When we got into the ministry, when Laura and I got into the ministry, and in those days we were doing like 5 services a week, and we were just going back and forth, and everything was just a hurried running, and we were always seemed like she was washing dishes. And I said, you know, why don't we just eat on paper plates and throw them away? I vote. Just don't even create the mess. Just put it in there. Let's eat on butcher paper, you know, on the table. I don't care, man. Makes me no difference at all. Have y'all ever been to those restaurants where they do that and just throw all the meat down on a piece of butcher paper and just eat it like a bunch of dogs on a table? I love it. I love it. I mean, if it's meat on a bone, too, you just like, I mean, this is it, man. You just feel like just like a dog. I love it. It's just like you went back to caveman days. It's the greatest thing in the world. Slurp it all down like a bunch of dogs at the table. Right? And so the point is you can, you know, some things can be arranged, but I'm just telling you, us giving left to our nature without the power of God, the glory of God coming into our lives and us drawing close to Him to burn us out, we are going to go south. The truth. It's absolutely the truth. You leave yourselves to your old habits, or just leave yourselves as you are, you're just going to go back. You got to go forward. And you got to go forward. And when you're going to go forward, it's going to hurt. You've got to give up some things. It's got to be holiness to the Lord. But you got to lambano first. If you don't lambano first, well, then holiness to the Lord, you're just going to get up and say, whoa, that's hot angle. What are we talking about? Going over there? It's the side of my faith. Y'all with me? So I guess let's go get scorched. Spend some time in the oven. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, ushers help me. Let's ush.